This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision.
Hey, how? Do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello everybody. This is Hal.
And Melanie.
And we are talking about making biblical family life practical. And want to welcome you to the program.
Tonight we're going to be talking about how to be happily married while homeschooling. Why do we say that?
Mm-hmm.
Because homeschooling brings some unusual stresses and blessings to a marriage and family.
Well, it really does. And, you know, I find that there's a common thing where you make a decision at a particular time in your life and say, this is the way that it's going to work, and you move on to the next thing and never go back and look at it. And so sometimes things will come into your life that will change that decision or will change the situation, and if you're not constantly watching, you may find yourself in a place that you didn't intend. And so, like, for example, the decision to begin homeschooling. You know, we've already made a decision that perhaps mom was going to stay home with the children when they're young, and maybe you've still got young children at home, but now suddenly they're not going to be going off to school anymore. Okay, so mom's going to teach them at home. Well, that's going to change some things in the entire household, and not just a philosophical thing, but it's going to make a difference in your relationships all the way around.
Yeah, it sure will. And, you know, it's funny because it's kind of a backdoor thing, though, because you don't really think, you think, this is something we do with the children. That doesn't really have anything to do with you and me, but it really does.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sure. You know, I think we all understand. I mean, if you've been homeschooling more than a month, I think you understand that it, like everybody says, it's a lifestyle thing. You know, everything becomes a teaching opportunity. It changes your home life. It changes your day with the kids. You know, whether dad is at home, you know, working from home, or if he's working out in an office or a factory or a farm or whatever, you know, it's going to change the way your home operates. Why shouldn't it be expected to make a change in your relationships?
Yeah, it's the truth. I think one of the biggest things, though, Hal, is just this homeschooling is a spiritual battle.
Well, it is.
And I wish someone had explained that to me, because, you know, when we started, even though we were starting for reasons that definitely included our Christianity and wanting to pass that on to our children,
mm-hmm.
I didn't really realize that what spiritual warfare I had just signed up for.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, you know, okay. What is the purpose of homeschooling? We want to do something to raise our children better than they would be raised in an institutional school. It's not just a public school issue. It's, you know, an institution, classroom surrounded by their peers and age and taught by one teacher for 25 children or something.
Right.
We want to do something different. And as Christians, we want to do something radically different in their spiritual lives. We want to, go ahead, say the D word, we want to disciple those young children.
Yeah.
And by teaching them at home, you not only recapture 35 or 40 hours a week that you can spend with that child rather than sending them off on the bus and they're gone all day, but you also get all of those opportunities that come up during the day when that child is suddenly sensitive, you know, when they've got a question, when something's bothering them, you can be right there, you can be on top of it. And
yeah.
and that's I think the real joy, the real benefit of homeschooling. It's not the fact they get a better education, which frequently they do, but the fact that they get a much stronger level of discipleship.
Yeah, I don't know why it surprised me so much that, you know, it would involve so much spiritual warfare, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think if you don't think homeschooling involves spiritual warfare, you probably haven't been homeschooling for very long.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think you wouldn't necessarily have to even be a believer to experience some
yeah.
spiritual opposition, because, you know, that again, just the parental involvement is going to make a difference in that child's life, no matter what that parent's trying to teach them.
Yeah.
And so I think even if you are not a believer who's doing this out of Christian conviction, you're still going to encounter struggles because of the opposition in the spiritual world.
Yeah, because yeah. just being together with our children all day and pouring our lives into them is something that's going to change their lives. And I think our enemy wants us to stop it.
Right.
Yeah. And so we've got all the time constraints of homeschooling. You know,
right.
It's really like taking a full-time job.
It really is. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, certainly is.
And so, you know, I know when we started homeschooling and we started, you know, when we had very young children, just a few children, and it was pretty easy comparatively because, you know, it was a kindergarten age student.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I was surprised at how much time and energy and thought and, you know, all that it took. And I was just tired.
Yeah.
Just worn out at the end of the day.
Does that have an impact on your relationships?
Yeah.
All the way around, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I think we do need to think about the impact that homeschooling has on our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that homeschooling can give us a better marriage, or it can really shake our marriage if we're not careful.
It can be something that draws us closer together and knits us together as a family, but also as a couple. As a husband and wife and mother and father working together on this project. And yet, if we're not careful, if we let it sneak up on us, if we don't take this seriously enough, then we can find that it puts stress into our relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're tired, because you're in spiritual warfare, because any number of different things enter into this. So that's why we want to talk about it. We want to talk to get people to think, how's it going? You know, we're homeschooling now. How is the relationship all the way around? You know, parents to children, certainly. We pay attention to that. But how about husband to wife, wife to husband?
Well, you know, one thing that someone brought up today, I asked this question on our Facebook page,
yeah.
On facebook.com/raisingrealmen.
Yep.
And our other Facebook page is facebook.com/Hal and Melanie
for
information just about our other ministries. Besides raising boys, and you know, one person mentioned, I think this is something we really need to be concerned about, is what about when it turns the focus too much on the children and not enough on the marriage? Because I hear fathers expressing some concern that, you know, they feel like their wife is all about the children now.
You know, I don't know that that's necessarily reserved for homeschooling. You know, because I think that happens in some relationships just when the baby comes.
Yeah.
You know, some husbands have a hard time dealing with the wife having, you know, other calls on her affection. And I mean, I remember when we had our first child,
mm-hmm.
I remember it sort of startled me for the first couple of months when I heard you speaking to somebody and realized it wasn't me. And that was something I had to kind of get adjusted to and say, you know what, you're sharing the household and you're sharing Melanie's attention with this baby, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
I had to grow up a little bit. But I know some guys really struggle with that. And, you know, if you've gotten over that with the baby, you may re-encounter it now that you've got school-age children who are, you know, it's not just a matter of sending them off to play by themselves quietly, but they have to sit there beside mama. She has to pour herself into them. And those young ones, the younger children, take so much more time. It's homeschooling primary grades. You know, sometimes we think, oh, that's easy because I'm just going to teach them the alphabet. But every moment,
you can't lose attention for a minute or they're gone.
Right.
It happened to me this morning. You know, we were working on school and I thought to check something on the computer,
mm-hmm.
and I looked up and the room was empty.
Uh huh.
They all disappeared.
Oh yeah.
You know, I had to go chase them down.
Yeah. Can your classroom do this? No.
Yeah.
The whole class disappeared.
Just gone. Hell, I mean, it was weird.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I no more heard them leave.
Right. But.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's a reality.
But that's reality. So you have to, it takes a lot of concentration. And I think, you know, it draws, for me,
mm-hmm.
when we started looking into homeschooling, it fulfilled an intellectual need for me.
Right.
Because, you know, I had left college and work and all that, and I was very happy being a homemaker.
Yeah.
But when I started thinking about educational theories and what I wanted to do with the children, it excited me because I hadn't had that intellectual stimulation in several years.
James Dobson uses an illustration in one of his books. He said a wife that he knew of was invited to come to her husband to a business dinner, and she was very excited because she had been investing so much time in raising these infants and toddlers was nice to have a grown-up evening out. And sometime during the evening, she was sitting next to his supervisor, and she caught herself leaning over and cutting up his meat for him.
Oh, dear.
Because that's
because
they were in a conversation, and that's what she did. Every, you know, dinner time, you turned to the plate next to you, and you cut the little bites.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, embarrassing.
But, you know, yeah, we are grown-ups, and, yes, parenting is something we're called to do, and it's a blessing, and it's a good thing, and yet the intellectual stimulation sometimes – is something you hunger for. And so,
yeah, it really is. And so I think that sometimes moms pour so much into it and they worry about it because we want to be good mothers. We want to do right by our children. And it's kind of scary taking on homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you worry if you're going to ruin your child's life, you know, if you're making the wrong decision. And I think we pour so much into it that we can become a little obsessed with just talking about it all the time. And you know, I think we have to remember to talk about what interests our husbands too.
Yeah.
Or to talk about it in such a way that he would be interested. Like, guys are not going to be interested in what spelling curriculum you use, honestly. Hang it up, Mom. They're not going to be interested.
That's a very good point. Thank you.
Very rare guy. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think guys are interested in, like, the long-term view. What do we want our children to learn before they graduate from high school?
Yeah.
You know, what can we do to prepare them for the real world?
Yeah.
You know, and about the general philosophies of education, bigger picture stuff.
Yeah, and I think sometimes to help the wife over some of her hesitations, for example, how many times have we talked to moms who say, I dread high school because I was no good in algebra, and I really, really dread having to teach algebra. And, you know, sometimes we meet them when their kids are 17 and they haven't really done much algebra in high school because, you know, mom had no confidence and dad wasn't really on top of what was going on to encourage her or to come alongside and tutor or to say, hun, if this is something you really, really are uncomfortable with, let's find a class. Let's find a tutor. Let's get an online program or something. And so I think that, you know, that's another thing that the husband's coming in to give the more of the 20,000-foot view of what's going on.
You know,
they can see the whole process a little more clearly than their beloved wife, who is right down there in the trench all the time.
Well, let's talk for a minute about some of our resources available. And when we're done, let's talk about what dads can do to bless their homeschooling wives that may make their wives have more time and interest in helping them.
Indeed.
Okay.
Well, we've got a number of resources. And if you are, for example, if you are raising young sons, this is one of our areas that we have put a lot of attention in because God gave us six of them to raise.
Yeah.
And we have put together a new webinar series. It's going to be starting in just a few weeks.
Yes.
Okay. February 17th, I believe, is the date we have on the calendar. We're calling it Boot Camp Boyhood.
Yes, and it is 4 consecutive weeks,
mm-hmm.
and we'll teach for about an hour, and then we'll take questions as long as you guys want to hang around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, our Boot Camp 9-12 has been one of the most popular things we do.
That's fantastic. We have had hundreds, literally hundreds of families that have gone through that 5-week program with us, and it's a blessing. Golly, it's so much fun. I mean, to sit and talk with these people, and they're literally all over the world. We've had people in Australia, folks
Turkey
and
China,
and Ireland and Scotland, and it's just incredible. And so we just get on and we do that live interactive thing, and it's like it would be like going to a homeschooling conference, but sitting on the stage and interrupting the speaker whenever you had a question. Oh, well, wait a minute. What about this? And they turn and they answer you.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do. I thoroughly enjoy it. And I think the people who do it enjoy it, too. Anyway, we've got a new boot camp that's brand new. People have been begging us to do this for years.
Right.
And we finally got the time to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Boyhood Boot Camp.
Right.
You can go to raisingrealmen.com/boyhood and sign up now. It starts in just a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep the classes reasonably small so we can keep interacting. So go ahead and sign up while there's room.
Yep. We'd love to see you there. So, again, at raisingrealmen.com/boyhood, or if you've got those preteen boys and they're starting to go crazy on you, you can go to raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp.
For boot camp 9 to 12.
For boot camp 9 to 12.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
Let's talk about some things that the dads can do that will bless their moms when it comes to, bless those homeschooling wives.
You know, because, okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something important to talk about.
Well, I think there's a couple of things that we need to kind of get our hands around. One of them is that, you know, Dad, if you are actually the head of your household, biblically speaking, then whatever's going on there is your responsibility. That's in your on your radar screen. And just like, you know, we would counsel a couple if they were going to enroll their children in a school, we'd say, you know, you have liberty to do that. Just understand it's your responsibility to educate your child. And if you enroll them in a school, you have delegated a responsibility, but you haven't shifted it. Okay, you still are responsible for what they're learning and how well they learn and how they progress. Well, the same thing is true if you start homeschooling. A lot of times, you know, wives get the vision for this thing sometimes before their husbands do, and they'll come in and say, you know, honey, I've got this great idea. Let's homeschool our little boy, our little daughter. You know, when they turn six next year, let's just teach them at home. And, you know, if the husband doesn't get his eyes up off the website or turn away from the sports page or whatever, he may just say, oh, sure, or whatever. I mean, you're already at home, that's fine, and never give it a second thought when really and truly it's his homeschool too. So that's an important thing. We need to pay attention to that. But, you know, more than homeschooling, I think we need to pay attention to what the Bible tells us our responsibility as husbands, and then apply that to our responsibility as homeschooling husbands. All right?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things we don't really talk about enough is the physical burden of homeschooling. You know, that just the exhaustion of being engaged. Yeah, because, okay, when you're at work, if you go to work, you may work hard, but people are praising you, okay?
Mm.
And nobody needs a spanking.
Right.
And nobody,
okay.
Or they may need it, but you can't give it to them. And... and, you know, nobody sasses you back or bursts into tears or throws a temper tantrum or throws up on your shoes.
Well, that's true. That happened at work.
And, you know, then when you're home and you're homeschooling, all these things are happening.
Well,
people are sassing you, and they're throwing temper tantrums, and they're crying in the bathroom, and, you know, by the time you've done all that all day and chase the toddlers and nurse the baby – and dealt with the hormonal teenager, you're wiped out by the end of the day.
You know, I have seen some of those situations at work. I've seen some tantrums, but there's always that sense that when I punch the clock, when I turn off the office lights and lock the door, I can take a breath and leave it. I can go home, and for the next 12 or 16 hours or whatever, I can do something different. And you know what, your wife is doing the same thing, teaching that class, you know, maybe a class of one, but she's teaching a class all day long, gets to the end of the day, and her commute is about 15 feet into the kitchen to start fixing supper, you know, with the same, you know, people that maybe she had an emotional uproar with an hour before. They're still there. She can't leave it.
You know, years and years and years ago, baby.
Yeah.
I remember us talking about this, I think maybe with a group of homeschoolers in Goldsboro, North Carolina. And you
I remember
said,
that meeting. That was very long ago.
Yeah, that was a really long time ago. But you said you were talking about when your mom used to work teaching.
Yeah, my mother was a public school teacher. She taught. She was actually a librarian, a media specialist, I think is the term now. But anyway, she was the librarian in elementary school. And when we were preschoolers, she was at home, but after my younger sister, I only have one sibling, my younger sister went off to school. We were in school all day long, so she picked back up her previous, you know, certifications and everything and went back to work. And I remember the first couple of years after Mom went back to teaching, she would come in at the end of the day, and she would sit down on the couch kind of heavily and say, and there she would be until Dad walked in about an hour and a half later. And we went out to eat so many times those first couple of years. Hey, it's okay for, you know, 12-year-old guy. All you can eat salad bars are great. But you know, that feeling of, man, she was worn out, just used up at the end of the day. And, you know, the thing that I've come to think about is when I see you at the end of the day, I need to remember, if you put on high heels and a dress and went out every day to teach a class full of other people's children, and then came home at the end of the day and sat down, would I feel differently than I do at the end of your day teaching my children when I come in and find you sitting in the chair and you don't have a paycheck to contribute to the family? Is that different? The answer is, well, actually, no, it's not different because you are doing hard work.
I'll tell you this. It's harder teaching your own.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. You know, because of the spiritual warfare component, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's more exhausting. Now, in a lot of ways, it's more fun because you get to pick your own curriculum instead of using the whatever stupid curriculum the committee and the capital chose.
School teachers would, like, sell their grandmother to be able to do that.
Yeah, I know. That's really awesome. And you can punish them when they need it, which is also awesome.
That helps. Yeah.
But, you know, they can also jerk your chain around a lot easier because they're your children.
Because they know where your buttons are.
Yeah, they know right where your buttons are.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think that when a dad takes that into account and he comes home and recognizes his wife may not be up to fixing supper that night.
You know, that maybe there's nights. And I remember one time in particular, we had a really busy schedule because we had a child playing soccer and he was taking violin lessons on some nights and we had church meetings during the week and such. And I remember sitting down and doing a schedule and realizing Tuesday nights, there is no time for supper.
Yeah.
There's no time. I get home from work, we go straight to soccer practice, and from soccer practice we have like 20 minutes to get over to violin.
Yeah.
And that was a good exercise because I realized, you know what, Tuesday nights, we're just going to plan to eat out. That's the only way we can make the schedule work is if we eat out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are going to be days like that. A homeschool family, they think we're unsocialized. No, the problem is we typically are over-socialized.
Yeah, seriously.
We've got too many things going on. And sometimes we have to look at it realistically and say, if all of this is important and we're going to keep up with all of it, we got to make some adjustments somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe we eat out. Maybe we cook things ahead of time. Maybe we have our big meal in the middle of the day and just eat sandwiches on the run when it's evening time. But I think it's really critical that the husband be sensitive to that because we come home at the end of the day, we're tired. We've been out slaying dragons and fighting the world and then commuting. Oh, the worst part of the day is the commute. And then you come in the door and you think, it's me time. I'm going to sit down and put my feet up, and I'm going to veg until somebody comes and feeds me dinner.
Only the only problem is your wife's thinking the same thing.
She's thinking the same thing.
She's thinking, oh, I have had the awfulest day.
Yeah.
The children have been terrible. My teenager had a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
My 3-year-old dumped all the flour out in the kitchen floor.
Yeah.
And, you know, the 11-year-old took all day long to do his math, and that's the only thing he's gotten done.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think, when will Daddy come home and he'll deal with all the children, and I can focus on just myself for a while? And
I remember those days when we were new parents, and sometimes you come in the door, and the wife hands you your baby, and somehow it seems like the baby always needed a change. Like, you saved that up for me, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We're supposed to be here for one another.
And we got to lay down our lives for one another.
And if you were teaching my children because I want you to do it, you're working for me, and you are actually doing my job. And so I need to step alongside and say, you know what? Let me take some of the other burdens off you so you can do this specialized task that I've asked you to do. You know, maybe I can cook. Certainly I can do some laundry. Maybe I should fold a few loads.
What a great idea.
Yeah. Those are radical, radical thoughts, yes. So, yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to keep that in mind. Well, hello there. We're back. This is Hal Young.
And this is Melanie Young.
And you're listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And if we can keep the internet up long enough, we'll make this webinar, this podcasting practical, too. But I tell you what, we've got a better sound quality now.
Yeah.
So maybe it's an improvement.
Okay. You know, we were talking about consideration for one another as a homeschooling couple.
And about dads being considerate of their wives because actually we tend to forget.
Well, you know, it says husbands love your wives. It says wives see to it that you respect your husband. And I think that's something we need to be careful of. Because I think for many women, when they get involved in homeschooling, it's the first time they've really been around serious Christian guys.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, and I think that it's really tempting to compare your husband to these other godly Christian men and find him wanting. And I think you have to be so careful about that. Because for one thing, your husband's probably going to be there one day. You know? You can't compare your husband to Mike Ferris. Mike Ferris isn't 28. Mike Ferris is in his 50s.
Well,
yeah.
It's like these second-generation homeschooling moms you meet, and they feel like failures because they remember their mom when their mom had been homeschooling for 15 years.
Right.
And had it all together. And, you know, they're a mom with three little kids, and she's just starting out, and she's overwhelmed, and that's, you know what, that's because she hasn't grown to that level.
And she doesn't realize her mama was overwhelmed when she had three little kids.
And so, likewise, when that homeschool mom goes to a support group meeting and the president of the organization stands up and he's a well-spoken, mature Christian man and he's so supportive and you think, gosh, my husband is just like a total dweeb compared to this guy. Why can't he be more like, oh, gosh, and that's a trap. You don't want to ever get in that.
No, and I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you a secret.
What's that?
I really believe this. And we talk about this in our book, My Blood and My Friend, How to Be Married to Your Best Friend Without Changing Spouses.
Yep.
I think that if you believe your husband is on his way to becoming that kind of man, if you show him respect and praise him when he makes the slightest steps in the right direction, he will be.
That seems to work in relationships generally, doesn't it?
I think it really does.
We have high expectations and we praise every step in that direction. And I know it works with our kids.
It does. I think it works with husbands and wives too.
Yeah, well.
You know, and the word God says, husbands love your wives, because that's what wives need and husbands cannot do.
It loves your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know,
so women are called to submit, but guys are called to
die.
Uh-oh.
Just like Jesus died for his church. You know, husbands, it's one thing to love your wife. Do you love your wife enough to die every single day to your own selfishness? You know, take a bullet for her? Sure. Fight lions? Sure. But, I mean, like, give up a hobby so that your wife, you know, can see more of you on the weekends.
Do some laundry?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Bring all the lions, please. Where are the lions?
Yeah, okay. Seriously.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the burden and the blessing that we bear.
Yeah.
But, you know, the respect that we get from our wives is so important to us. And frankly, when we're tired, we don't remember these things. And mom is tired.
When we're stressed out, you know, stress reveals our characters and the character flaws.
Yeah.
Well, listen, let's take just a second and tell these folks about what's going on next week because I'm really excited about it.
Well, you already mentioned it. We have a new book. Some of you have already seen it. But we have a new book called My Beloved and My Friend, How to Be Married to Your Best Friend Without Changing Spouses.
And it officially releases on Valentine's Day next week.
2014. That's good.
Yeah, and we're really excited about it. So what we're doing, a huge celebration.
Yes.
It starts, we're kicking off Monday with we have all kinds of bloggers.
It'll be Monday the 10th of
February. Tons of bloggers, dozens of bloggers. They're going to be doing giveaways.
Yes.
And we're going to have a huge monster contest. And then next Monday night at 7, we're going to do a Facebook party with tons of giveaways live during the Facebook party. And after the Facebook party, we're moving the Facebook party over here to this program. Uh-huh. And we're going to take your live call-in question.
Ooh, that sounds dangerous.
Yes.
Live without a net. Ooh, okay.
And so we would love for you guys to join us. It's going to be all next week.
Yep.
Be sure you have liked Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen, Facebook.com/HalAndMelanie.
Yes.
That's where most of the announcements are going to be.
Okay.
And keep an eye on our blog at RaisingRealMen.com because we're going to have, you can win things from your favorite publishers. Mm-hmm. I have a huge list, Hal.
Yes.
Of publishers that have donated things, it's going to be a blast.
That is great. Well, look, we hope that you will come out and join us there, because be there live, and that's going to be the benefit. Of course, if you're listening on the recordings, we welcome you and we appreciate you as well. But we'd like to be able to give you a gift. So
yes, and there's going to be tons of presents and gifts and giveaways next week, so join us next week.
That's fine. Well, okay, so we've talked about husbands, love your wives. We've talked about wives, respect your husbands.
Let's talk about the physical stuff.
Ooh, yeah, because that's, you know, that's one of those things
where
that,
the rubber meets the road.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I guess one of the things that a homeschooling mom has to relearn, okay, because there's that transition from being the mom with no children, well, not a mom, being the wife with no children to take care of, to suddenly you've got a little person that's in your arms all the time and it's very demanding and you're tired and you're not getting sleep like you like. Now, you have to learn to make some adjustments and make some allowances for that. But there's another period of transition there where you start homeschooling because, hey, guess what? You've got people right there in your face all day long again.
Yeah, and you get touched out.
Yep.
You know, it's like you just don't want anybody to talk to you or touch you. You want to just, like, be a hermit. And I think that we wives, you're talking about things guys really need to do. I think we wives need to be really careful to say something for our husbands. You know, to for me, I had to make some changes.
Yeah.
Because I am not by nature a real touchy-feely person.
Mm-hmm.
And having the children around my neck all the time made me neglect you. And so the things I had to do, okay, is make sure I had devotions every day, okay, because otherwise I was not a pretty mama or wife.
Okay.
Okay. I had to stop having lunch with the children.
That is so important because, because you know what? A lot of our standards, a lot of the advice that people give, a lot of the things they admonish us about, you know, in the seminars and all, are kind of based on a lifestyle that homeschoolers aren't leading.
Yeah, because, you know, I felt like, okay, families have to eat meals together to have quality time. And so I felt guilty if I would check out for lunch. But I had already spent by that time three or 4 or 5 hours of quality time with my children. What we all needed was to let our hair down a little bit.
Yeah, think about that because, you know what, okay, let's go the traditional route. The traditional route is, at 7 in the morning, you eat a hurried breakfast, you put them on the bus, and they go off to school, and they're there until 3 o'clock when they get out of school, and then they go to band practice, or they go to football practice, or they go to dance lessons, and then they come home. So about 5 o'clock, you all have supper, and then from 8 to 9 o'clock or whatever, they're doing their homework or whatever. And you know what? You've only got a few hours of time with them, and if you don't spend that hour at the dinner table with them, that's cutting off maybe a fourth of the whole day.
Yeah, versus if I skip lunch with them, that's just a small fraction of the time I spend with them. So we pretty much started, the children had a lunch chef, and they would make their own lunch, and I would take that time off because I just needed to recharge. Naps are important, too, especially when we have little children and babies nursing in the middle of the night. It's not so bad now because our youngest is out of that stage now.
Yeah.
But back when I was nursing a baby, I had to have a nap in the afternoon in order to not just want to face plant when bedtime came.
Yeah.
And so I made a rule. You don't talk to mama during nap time.
Mm-hmm.
I take everybody young enough that they had to have supervision upstairs and put them all in my bed. And I'd read them a story, and I'd lay my arms across them.
Yeah.
And I'd go to sleep. Now, it's really hard to stay awake if somebody has their arm across you and they're snoring next to you.
Right.
And so once they were asleep, I usually didn't sleep the whole time they did, maybe 20 or 30 minutes. It made all the difference in the world about how I felt when you got home.
I can imagine so. And I thank you for that.
Well, it's really important to recognize that our guys need that.
Yeah, because you know what? We are out. Well, the temptations that we feel are different than the temptations that you feel. And we are out in a world, okay, and the world does not respect our marital commitment, and sometimes we don't have a lot of choice about who we deal with or how they choose to dress or behave or anything else. And so sometimes we get home at the end of the day and we're pretty well, we've had quite a fight going on, and we need some comfort and some rebuilding and some affection to kind of restore, sort of recharge our batteries for the battle ahead. And I think that's an important thing. Sometimes I don't think we talk about that enough in the church.
No, we don't.
But, you know, Paul says that in 1 Corinthians. First, the church in Corinth was living in a culture very much like ours. It was a very sensual culture, and it was surrounded by just absolute license and immorality. And Paul said, you know, because of immorality, you need to be married. Let every man have his own wife because of the immorality around you.
That's right.
Okay, so that's an important part of our relationship. And so I think that's a very good point. You know, a few years ago, I had the privilege of serving as the president of our state homeschool organization. And I remember coming out of the convention center after, you know, the inauguration, if you want to call it that, the changing of the guard. And I remember talking with you on the way home. I was a real visionary, and I was thinking, all right, what is it that we can do that will minister to the homeschooling moms the most next year? And what is it that they're most worried about? Is it, and I start conjecturing, I'm thinking, is it teaching high school science? Are they worried about, like, how am I ever going to teach my kids math? Or, you know, I was coming up with all these academic things. And you,
what?
And you, yeah, and that was your reaction. You were looking at me with your mouth hanging open and just saying, you know.
Like how? Look.
Yeah.
No.
What is it?
Survey needed.
What is? That's exactly what you said. What is it that homeschooling mothers are concerned about, my dear?
It's the house.
The house. They're worried about the house.
The house is a wreck. The house is a wreck. It ought to be condemned, and there's no hope.
Homeschooling affects your house?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, your husband may not realize that. He probably doesn't. Well, maybe he does, but he doesn't realize that that's.
He probably recognizes that the house is a wreck, and he thinks you're just not doing anything.
And he doesn't realize that that is common to homeschoolers. It's not, you know, my wife's lost it, but rather, you know what? Your wife is not spending all day long tidying up, dusting the corners, and vacuuming the drapes.
And the children are not spending all day long somewhere else either.
So it's kind of hard.
In fact, the little kids are going crazy when you're homeschooling the big kids, and vice versa.
So it's not, you know, it's all you can do to keep up, let alone to catch up.
Right.
And so, you know what, I think that's an important thing, realizing for husbands, especially husbands, oh, bless your heart, if you are a type A, obsessive, compulsive, very neat, organized husband, pray, please pray, pray for grace.
Yes.
Because your wife, you know, oftentimes opposites attract, and sometimes your wife is the artistic freewheeling type, and that's what one of the things that drew you to her, but it also means that she's not as good at housekeeping. And when you add homeschooling into the mix, it becomes nigh impossible.
Yeah.
And you know what? We need to accept that and say, honey, it's okay. I don't mind if we eat on paper plates to cut down on the dishwashing.
God bless paper plates.
Yes. And it's okay if you
don't. And look, if you're worried about the environment.
Yes.
Let me tell you something.
Yep.
Trees are a renewable resource. Your nerves are not.
Yeah, that's right. They don't grow back very quickly. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. In Proverbs chapter 14, there's a verse that says, where there's no oxen, the manger is clean. Hey, clean, clean is good, right? Where there's no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Okay? It's worth having a bit of clutter in your manger when you see all that ox brings to the, literally to the table.
Because, you know, when you do homeschool your children.
Yeah.
We've talked about a lot of the negative things.
Yeah.
But it really brings you together as a family if you can get through these challenges. Because suddenly we all have things in common.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas, you know, my brother and I never studied the same thing at the same time.
My sister and I are 4 years apart. We were never in the same school.
Wow.
Okay? And we had friends in common, sort of, because, you know, my friends had younger sisters that were her friends. So we kind of crossed over there. But, yeah, you know, and yet when our children are being raised together and being homeschooled together, then they know each other so much better.
Yeah.
They share the common, the subjects they have in common. And, you know, the family bonding is so much better that way.
Yeah. And it allows us to, I don't know, it brings a family unity that I think is really unusual.
Yes.
And it's a huge blessing. And mm-hmm. you just have to conquer this other stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, yeah. and recognize that those things go with it. But you've got to get through it. You know, let's talk for a minute about resources, but when we come back, why don't you tell that story about using the right tool for the job?
I think we should.
Okay.
What resource, is there another resource that we need to talk about?
Well, we need to tell them that that Hero Tales 4 has finally been finished.
Have you heard our Hero Tales audiobooks? These things are really cool.
They are so much fun.
We started reading, this book is by Theodore Roosevelt and Henry Cabot Lodge, who was a political ally of his. They wrote this in 1895 with the purpose of teaching character and virtue and patriotism by using stories from American history. So the book is called Hero Tales from American History. And it starts with the biographies of Daniel Boone and George Washington, and then goes through several stages of the Revolution and then the War of 1812. And it's a really fascinating, very much a storytelling approach to history. Well, we started reading as a family, and I said, you know what? This would make a really neat audiobook. And so we started to do it as an audiobook, but then we said, wow, these stories are so good, they need some sound effects. And so we started adding cannon fire and creaking ships and angry French mobs and seagulls over the shipping and all that kind of thing. And it just made it a lot more fun. Because history is cooler with cannon fire. And so, anyway, we're now at the 4 CDs of these stories. You've got about 4 hours of listening time. And it's just in like 10 or 12 minute chunks. So it's great to listen to in the car.
Yeah, because you don't have to end up sitting in the driveway waiting 20 minutes for it to finish.
And you can use it as a treat in your history class. You know, say, okay, now that we finished this chapter, let's listen to how Theodore Roosevelt told the story. And it's funny because we made it just for whomever be interested. And we've had everybody from folks saying, my 4-year-old listens to them every night before he goes to sleep, to people said, my grandfather says they were his favorite Christmas gift this year.
Yes.
So we're up to now 4 CDs. And what's the price on those?
They are $7 individually each. Or you can buy the whole set for $20, which makes them $5 each.
Yeah.
You go to raisingrealmen.com/herotales.
Okay.
Now, a couple of things I want to tell you about really quickly, okay?
Yeah.
The Old School House magazine is giving away a free Valentine's bouquet this week.
All right. Just
and
this week?
This week and next week, I think.
Okay.
But I know it's available this week.
All right.
It's free. It's really awesome.
What is
it? Because it has free e-books. And one of those is a free chapter out of our new book. And the chapter we chose is called... The ebook is called Always Enraptured, The Physical Aspect of Marriage.
Ooh.
And so it's something you want to read before Valentine's Day.
Yes, there you go.
Yes. And so get out there and read that. And you can get that free from the Old School House magazine. And if you can't find it, go out to their Facebook page, facebook.com/theoldschoolhouse, and scroll down, and there's a link there where you can get it.
That's right.
And I'll post the link on our site, too.
Okay.
Now, I also wanted to tell you a few of the companies that are going to be celebrating next week with us and have donated freebies for the big celebration of our book.
Yes.
We have the Homeschool Adventure Company.
Yes.
Shining Dawn Books.
Uh-huh.
We have Trivium Pursuit with the Blue Dorn.
Oh, and Christian Logic also.
Yes, and Christian Logic.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, I'm scrolling down here.
I think
everything's moving.
One of our favorites is down there.
Doorpost is down
there. That's what I'm thinking of. Yes, Doorpost. And
Let's see. And scrolling so slowly, The Mystery of History.
Okay.
Media Angels.
Yes.
Joyous Home Magazine. Business at Home Magazine.
That's a beautiful magazine.
Oh, yeah, A Journey Through Learning.
Okay.
Boy, there's just tons of them here.
Okay.
Having trouble getting through them fast enough.
Yep.
Accelerate Language, The Home Scholar, Character Corner. Wow.
So these are going to be part of the door prizes and giveaways and such during our celebration.
Yes. Bright Ideas Press, Grace and Truth Books, Heritage History, New Millennium Books, Writing with Sharon Watson, The Old Schoolhouse, Molly Green. We have tons of giveaways next week, so be sure to join us at 7 o'clock on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Hal and Melanie, next Monday night, where we're going to kick off this celebration, and then we're going to move over to the radio program here and keep it going.
So that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Yes.
Continues at 9 p.m. Eastern time till at least 10.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And so let's see. Well, what else do we need to talk about on this?
Okay.
You know,
we talk about husbands and wives and the right tool for the job.
That is an important thing. I learned a lesson about that early on. I remember it was one of the first conventions we went to here in North Carolina. And I was walking through the book fair, and there was a vendor that had the Betty Lukens Bible Phelps. You remember those from Bible school, from vacation Bible school or Sunday school or whatever? And so, you know, it's the Bible for flannel boards. And they had the kits available for homes, for home use. And I thought, wow, that will add a new dimension to our family devotions. And I'm looking at it, and I don't remember the exact prices, but it seems, as I recollect, the whole set was available for like $160. But they had one for just $90, which was printed in all of its beautiful, colorful glory, but it wasn't cut out yet. Okay, so you had to cut the figures and stuff out of the sheets. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to do the really nifty dad thing, and I'm going to get this wonderful set of Bible felts for our home, but I'm going to do it economically. I'm going to save money and be thrifty and wise about it. So I bought the $90 set, thinking I was just changing jobs, and I was spending a lot of time, you know, at home in the place I was staying during the week, just by myself watching TV. And I thought, well, I can cut these things out. It's fun, piece of cake, right? I have no idea how many people there are in the Bible.
And how many objects those people held.
How many objects appear in the Bible. And, you know, a lot of those people are still trapped in their sheet of flannel after how many years?
It's been 15 years.
It's been terrible. What did I learn? Well, you know, I learned that was bad economy. I would have done better to buy the set just to pay the extra money because I had no idea what I was getting into. And you know what? The one thing I have found to be true about homeschooling moms, and you're no exception, is that they are, if I can use the technical term, cheap. They're skinflints. They're frugal to a fault. And the problem is if they go out and they buy a curriculum, they spend $120 on this expensive new curriculum, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's just not the right style for them or their children.
It's not. I can't teach this, or my child absolutely cannot learn from it. But I can't go back and spend more money. I spent so much on this. We're just going to have to tough it out for the year. You know what? I got to say this to all the dads out there. If I'm working on the car, if I'm doing a home repair, and I don't have the right tool for the job, you know, I go buy it. I go get the tool. I love to go get the tool because it's important to have the right tool for the job. Otherwise, just spend, you know, all day long hammering nails with a pair of pliers and that kind of thing. And so we need to get the same courtesy to our wives to say, honey, this tool does not work. Go put it on eBay. Take it to the swap meet. You know, do something. Save it for the next child. But get something that works so you're not beating your head against it and killing this child's desire for learning and not getting half the benefit out of it that you need.
Happy mama makes for a happy family.
That's right. Mama ain't happy. Ain't nobody happy. Yeah, we know that. So, yeah, that's an important thing. And I think recognizing that we are basically the headmasters of very exclusive little Christian schools. And
I think when dads think of themselves that way, it makes it easier for them.
Well, then we can understand it.
Yeah.
Okay? We don't understand teaching phonics. And, well, don't ask us to do coloring sheets. But, you know, if you say, dear, I need you to be the administrator. I need you to set the vision and plan and goals for our school. And you, Mr. Administrative Headmaster Person, you need to watch out for the professional development of your staff. You need to send your teacher for some in-service days, and that might be go send her to get her hair done, or it may be pay for her to go to convention. You know, it could be whatever.
Better yet, go take a couple of days off and go with her.
Yeah, or do all of the above.
Yeah.
You get a haircut, too. Make a celebration. And so, you know, all of those things are really important. I hope you don't mind that. Yeah, we're broadcasting live from our actual home, and so things like actual family members come in the door. And so you hear some of this background, it's because we're real.
That's right. We're us.
Yes. And so, yeah, just recognizing that mom has taken on a really big job, and really it's your responsibility, Dad. And so you need to get engaged with it. Now, what if dad does not ask?
I think the wife needs to share. You know, I think that without being patronizing and without being talking down to him, but to say,
yeah,
hey, let me tell you what we did today. You know, or, hey, why don't you show your dad that paper you wrote? Or show dad that picture you colored, you know, and wrap up in it. And I think it's really helped to share with our husbands what we see going on spiritually with our children.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we do that, you know, we have the privilege of being, first of all, being intuitive people and being there with them all day.
Right.
And when we share, like, you know, such and such is asking a lot of questions when we're doing devotions in the morning for school, I think you might want to take them for a drive and have a talk with them because, you know, they're really sensitive spiritually. I think they probably need to hear from you, honey.
And I don't know how many times I've gotten a text message in the middle of a meeting that just says, please pray, children crazy, or something of that nature. And, you know, that's something that you can do even from a long distance. God is not bound by the constraints of geography. And so you can send that prayer up even if you're in another part of the world. And so now what about this? Now let's do the flip side. That's if dad comes in and he's distracted and he thinks, she's taking care of it, I'm not going to ask any questions. Yeah, you need to share with him. But what if dad asks and maybe you don't really want to talk about it?
Well, you know, I know some dads who really have kind of unrealistic ideas of what should be happening. Because I remember one dad just telling me he just would homeschooling was fine, but he didn't think his wife should be doing it because she just wasn't doing a good enough job and she was only spending a couple hours a day and he was worried that his child wouldn't be able to get into college. And I said, well, how old is your son? He's 4.
Yeah, that is the long-term visionary speaking. Yeah,
yeah, but, you know, a couple hours a day is probably more than she needs at four.
Yeah, that's probably more than he needed to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think this is really about we've got to communicate with each other. Homeschooling makes it even more important that we communicate with each other, that we share our expectations, that we consider each other more highly than ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we lay down our lives for each other.
And so that means that if I don't ask about how school's going, you need to kind of fill me in from time to time. And if I do ask, you really shouldn't get defensive. You
no,
need to share
but,
with me.
But,
you need
but to share and to talk about
so,
it.
Yeah.
And to try to just show love to one another, and preference,
love
serving one another.
And respect and courtesy. Yeah, because sometimes I see that. Sometimes I see that support group meetings that the wives will get together and you can sense that they feel like, okay, this is the woman's work and the men just stay out. Boys
just
not allowed.
Don't get it, yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm just there on sufferance. It's, you know, they really want to hear from you, Melanie. And you know, that's out of balance.
This is
something the parents are doing together.
It's a family thing.
It's a family thing and the husband is going to ultimately be the one held responsible for it. So he needs to be part of this.
And you know what? The stability of our family is grounded in the stability of our marriage. I want to say that for just a minute here.
Yeah.
Because we see so many Christian marriages, Christian homeschool families, good people divorcing because they haven't put the right focus on their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary. It's terrifying what happens to those families because when you divorce, when you tell the state, hey, the adults in this family can't agree on how to run the family, well, then they give you somebody to run the family.
Yeah, and instead of ridding yourself of that troublesome mate, what you've done is, now you've added a third adult into the picture who has the power of the state behind him. And
the judge.
Now you've just complicated it.
Yeah, and instead we need to act like grown-ups, and we need to act like Christians.
Right.
You know, we need to sacrifice for one another and to make it work. Because if we ignore our marriages and neglect our marriages and our marriages break up, the homeschooling is going to be moot because probably you're not going to be allowed to keep homeschooling. That's generally what we see.
Yeah.
And so we've got to be careful not to let the stresses of homeschooling cause problems in our marriage because without the marriage, there isn't usually homeschooling.
Yeah.
You know, and even if it does, if you are in a great situation where it can occur, it's so much harder.
Well, I think, you know, at the bottom of all of this, kind of like we were talking about earlier, you know, homeschooling is something that we do for a variety of reasons, but really and truly our primary responsibility is not teaching phonics. It's teaching our children to know and to love God and to serve Him.
Yeah.
We're called to make disciples. And, you know, we homeschool kids because education is what happens at this time of life, and we want that time back. We want that opportunity back. But really and truly, it's more important that we disciple our kids. And our kids are not our first responsibility either. We have a responsibility to our Lord and then a responsibility to our mate.
Yeah.
And all of those things in the proper order and the proper emphasis can work together for tremendous blessing.
Yeah, they can. A homeschooling marriage and a homeschooling family, I think, can be one of the happiest and the closest there are out there.
Well, I know that I'm having about as much fun as grown-ups are allowed to have, and I like it, okay? I like what we're doing
here. I agree.
And I think that this is an awesome thing that God's brought us into. So that, I tell you what, that pretty much wraps up our time here. You have anything, any closing comments?
Love your mate.
Love your mate. Respect your husband. Love your wife. Do all of those things. Cling to one another. And we will look forward to seeing you here next week.
Yes, only come early at 7 o'clock to facebook.com/HalandMelanie,
mm-hmm.
where we're going to kick off our release celebration
yep.
of our new book, My Beloved and My Friend, How to Be Married to Your Best Friend Without Changing Spouses. You can get it at mybelovedandmyfriend.com
right.
or raisingrealmen.com/marriagebook.
Yep.
And we would just love for you to join us at that Facebook party. We're having tons of giveaways from great homeschool and Christian publishers.
Mm-hmm.
And we will then finish up that Facebook party here online where you can ask us questions live, calling in next week.
That's right.
So get together your questions, and we'll see you next week.
Great. So thanks for joining us this week. We'll look forward to you next week and the week after that, too. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.